Urban Māori Radio 816 with Tori Whānau. Tori is going to be leaving our land for a while. She's heading to Melbourne, citing not just economic pressures, but ongoing harassment and the constraints of political life while seeking new opportunities abroad. I can completely understand that. E te tuhine, Tori, thanks very much for spending some time with us here on Wātea again. Tēnā koe.
Oh, tēnā koe. Good to chat to you again.
Kia ora, have you boxed up all of your goods to send across to the land of sand, or what stage are you at with your intended move?
I've still got a couple of months to go, so I'm mainly spending time with friends, whānau, get myself sorted, but we'll be over there from February.
Any plans?
In terms of Melbourne?
Yeah, and in terms of mahi over there.
Oh, yeah. So I'm interviewing for jobs as we speak, but, you know, to be honest, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, I managed to make the front page of the Post twice, even though I'm out of office. That was kind of the last straw for me because, you know, I'm now entitled to living a private life and talk to media that I want to, you know, by choice. And so when I saw that was happening and then they were digging into my Melbourne trip as well, I thought, I've had enough. It's just time to leave and make that separation. So still job hunting and I'm mainly just moving over for just a nice quiet life.
Yeah. Well, look, I thank you for agreeing to speak with us. We've spoken before about the pressures that our whānau Māori have in public life, but particularly for our women, and some of them can be, the approaches from media can be very intrusive and just seeking to embarrass, really, sort of front page photo. I didn't see the article in the Post. What was that getting at?
So the first article was about my mural portrait again. So, we had a unveiling function, cost about $1,000, but they put it on the front page and called it a secret party, which was absolutely not the case. I decided to have that small event instead of a massive farewell, which usually costs between $5,000 to $10,000. So I saved money. But they turned it into very much a negative article about me hosting a secret party. There was another one about the cost of the new mayor's inauguration, but they put me in the photo. I had nothing to do with it. And I could, you know, this trend will just continue. So I figure I actually have to leave the city to gain that private life again.
I wish you well with that. You know, you're a larger-than-life character, and I say that with aloha. We'll just see how it goes for a while over in Australia. I hope you can find a private life, not get hounded by the media. But it does bring us into a wider issue, and that is the harassing and haranguing by mainstream media outlets to women in office, particularly Māori women. I mean, on one hand, we're saying, stand, put your name forward, but yours is an example of why people might not. What would you say of this sort of fascination with personalities that exists in New Zealand media and the tall poppy syndrome that ultimately has been part of what you've had to endure?
It absolutely exists, that really unbalanced targeting of wahine Māori. I've actually been working on a piece with a couple of academics to contribute to the Mana Wahine Inquiry, which was quite therapeutic to put together. But there's just so much research and evidence, especially against me, Tamitha Paul, Kiritapu Allen, way back to Matiria Ture, about the language used against us, the media focus used against us in comparison to our Pākehā counterparts who have done similar things is actually quite astronomical. There are two academics at the moment, Dr. Cassandra Munchwe and Dr. Sanjana Hatatua, who are doing some in-depth research into this, why it's happening, and what are the things we can do to stop it from happening. This government has an obligation to tighten legislation. We need more education, especially around social studies and media ethics, for our rangatahi. That's where it starts. Finland have done this very, very well. Social media regulations. So Facebook have dropped all their content moderation, so people are just going absolutely nuts in terms of their abuse. The latest report, there was one post about me moving to Melbourne on RNZ. There were 800 comments, and I'd say 95% of them were just completely misogynistic, racist, derogatory. And it's no wonder, people might be afraid to run for parliament. And it's intentional. It's intentional to get so that our democratic system is not representative of our communities, because who wins in the end? It's the elite. It's the 1%, because we're not there to stop bad policy. So while I'm leaving the country just for a few years, it's just for me to take a break, recharge, and get passionate again. I have every intention of coming back probably 2029 and have another go at this, because it's just too important. I'd love to run for parliament in the future and tighten this legislation so that we can keep our rangatahi and our next round of leaders safe.
Yeah, it's really important what you're touching on. And let's just go to the social media, the anonymity that many enjoy as keyboard critics and warriors. What emotional impact has it had? In some ways, I was hoping that you wouldn't read the negative, but you can parry blows, but you can't parry words. How does that affect you emotionally when you hear or read all this misogynistic and racist garbage that follows almost your every move?
I try not to take it personally, because I know it's against the system, it's against the collective. But, every now and then it hits me and I won't leave the house because I feel too tired and too down. I'm going through burnout, and which is why I've taken the rest of the year off, just to rest and recharge. And then it just makes me sad that people have become so emboldened to say those things, and probably enabled quite a bit by this current government for when they punch down and bully communities. So it makes me sad. It does hurt my feelings. I'm human. But all the more reason just to get that bit of separation from Wellington and New Zealand. I love this country, and I'm deeply passionate about our country thriving. But it's just not my time right now. So it's time for me to get some rest, get more experience internationally, and then come back with an even more fighting spirit.
Tēnā koe. Can you envisage some roles working with other communities, other peoples with shared interests, where you can really share your experience with them? I mean, it's not everyone that is an MP and a mayor of Wellington, Tory whānau. So you go to Australia with some tools in your kite. Do you think that you'll be able to utilise them to uffy others? Because there'll be similar situations that women of colour in Australian politics are confronted by. Do you think in time you might find your way to them and see what tautoko you might be able to provide with your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of networks over there that I've already tapped into. So one, I want to contribute to, helping the Indigenous people of Australia as well, and helping our Aboriginal whānau over there. I've signed up to a women's group. I've signed up to the Greens Australia. Whatever work I end up doing, and the interviews that I've been having, it's been quite eye-opening. They're completely fascinated about my experience, and very positive, and very much I was interviewing with one company, and even they said Wellington City was very lucky to have you. So internationally, there does seem to be a greater appreciation of this experience, even if I don't necessarily feel it here in Wellington myself. It is appreciated in Australia, so I will absolutely be utilising that. I've been signed up as a professional speaker that will talk to mainly women's events, to women of colour. I've been in touch with the Obama Foundation, and there are plenty of opportunities. So I have every intention of keeping up that passion and keeping up that voice. It'll just be outside of New Zealand.
Yeah, well, some might see us as being part of the mainstream media too, but, you know, should we ignore their actions towards you, or is it time to let rip and just be reminded of the intergenerational and historic beating that Māori have been subjected to with the constant negative stereotyping and racist reporting? Yours seems to me to be an example of that continuity. And so, you know, we can't be bullied by mainstream press, but that seems to be what has happened. Time to turn the blowtorch backwards or hold a mirror up to their behaviour. And then there's the expectation that everyone is squeaky clean, goes to church each week, etc., and pale male stale. I mean, we need some eccentric and colourful characters in our politics, surely, Tory Whānau.
Oh, we absolutely do, and it is absolutely time for some blowback. So in my Mana Wahine inquiry evidence brief, there's a whole section there against media. I've submitted to the district courts under the Harmful Digital Communications Act against some of my online harassers, and I hope that to be the start. I have found, you know, challenging our media sector hard. But when I've raised things before, you know, that they'll come at me 10 times again. So I do wonder if there's an opportunity for a collective to come together and challenge media together. Because it has to happen. It's getting worse. And I don't want any other wahine Māori to go through what I have. So I'm very much more than happy to use my experience to challenge them, and I will be in certain inquiries. But I think maybe it's time for a bigger group of us to get together and start to do that.
Well, I hope that you feel supported, Tory. It's really disappointing that in some ways it feels like you've been pushed out of our land, somebody who's got a great deal to offer, but this sort of intense scrutiny and the desire to sort of pick you apart publicly hasn't sat well with Māori, and nor will it ever. As you mentioned, when we think back on the treatment of Tabitha and Matiria and Kiritapu and many more, we realise that public life in New Zealand is damn tough, and much tougher too if you're a wahine Māori. So I want to wish you well, Tory, and hope you'll allow us to stay in touch as you get yourself settled in Melbourne. But, you know, it's a very cosmo city, Melbourne, and I'm sure that you'll be able to find your feet there fairly quickly and be appreciated in ways that quite obviously hasn't been the case for you in Wellington. Kia kaha, kia mai, kia manawanui e te tuhine, and thanks very much for sharing some thoughts with us here on Wātea.
Kia ora, and I will always answer your call, because I've appreciated the way you've supported me and been balanced in your questions and reporting. So thank you, whānau. I will always be here for our people. I'm merely just taking a breather.
Good on you, and you deserve that. Thank you, Tory. It's nice talking with you again.
Kia ora. Kia mihi.